Come on, children, join me here. Well, well, well. So good to see y'all today. How's everybody today? I'm going to tell you a story today, and then I've got something I'm going to show you that's real special today. The children of Israel are in captivity. They're down in Egypt. They're being forced to make bricks for the Pharaoh to build his building. And then it got so bad that the Pharaoh stopped providing them with all the stuff they needed. So they had to go and gather that too. And they were really being treated badly. But then God sent someone. Does anybody know who the Lord sent to Moses? That's right. And Moses came down, and you remember what Moses said to the Pharaoh? Let my people go. And after the plagues and after all of that, the Pharaoh finally let the people go. They came to the Red Sea. And what happened when they got to the Red Sea? Who parted it? Who gave Moses the power? That's right. All right, here we go. I'm going to show you something now. Let's move a place out here where we can see this. Y'all come on and get where everybody, y'all come on around the table here, okay? So you can see. All right, are you where you can see everybody?
Yeah.
All right. Now this is a bowl of water, and I'm going to put some pepper on the top of this water. Okay? All right. There we go. All right, you got it?
Uh-huh.
All right, now, I'm going to show you, Moses was anointed by the Lord to do God's will. And when he took that staff and put it out across the water, what happened? It parted. Let me show you what happened. I want you to look. Everybody see that? You watching it? Because it's going to happen fast. Just pretend that this is God's anointing right here. Watch what happens.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Can you imagine that just like that pepper just went and parted, that's exactly what the Red Sea did on that day. It was by the power of God, and they walked across on dry land. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful story. Thank you for these beautiful children. And Lord, made this true of your power be ingrained in our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, y'all can go to Kids Zone. Let me tell you what it did. It had water, you put pepper on the top, and then when you put soap on your finger, something about the tensile strength of what the atmosphere does with the surface of that water, It caused all the pepper to move. It couldn't stay. So it just parted. That's why they were saying, wow, you know. Love to hear kids say wow occasionally, don't you? So many other things. All right. This is the High Chief, Dr. Kelechi Kennedy Okere, who we are so glad, right, Lolo, that he got back from Nigeria in one piece. And we praise the Lord for that today. All right, High Chief, here you go. Can you hold that?
Sure. Good morning. I just want to, first of all, thank you all for praying for me during my trip to Nigeria, and I came back in one piece. It's not as bad as we've been hearing on news. At least people were calm and peaceful, so I was able to tour around all the places that I wanted to visit. So what I want to share with you are some of the mission field or some of the things that the church is involved in Nigeria. The first one I want to talk about is the Community Baptist Church in Owerri. This church, we've supported this church. It's like a sister church to us, and it's like a mission church to us, and right from the scratch. But amazingly, they have increased in number. Their building that used to be like a, I don't know how to explain it, but it was
falling down.
In fact,
it did fall down.
It did fall down at one time, and we supported them to raise it up again. This time, they have a good structure, and they've increased so much in number that they are building a larger building. You can't believe it. So the place is looking great, and with all the number of people they have worshiping in the church. I was able also to see Uncle Clement, who has been
Nigerian godfather.
Nigerian godfather. So he has been like our representative in the church there, and he's doing pretty well, and mentioned his regards to every one of us here. I also met with Jeffet Amadi, who is in the seminary completing his PhD. The church has remarkably supported him, and he's about to complete that PhD. And when he does that, he is going to be a great, great, great vessel in God's hand in raising up pastors and sending pastors to the rural areas. So the support we've been giving him eventually is going to be really very fruitful, and it be like in geometric progression. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
That's a big word.
You can say it in Igbo if you like. They'll understand.
That's right. And that's a place I also visited is to look at some of the places we've been doing our medical missions. It so happened that when I visited them, most of them thought we're coming back again with medicine. It's like when they see me, it's equal to medicine, nothing else. Even when I say good morning, do you have medicine? Good afternoon, do you have medicine there? Talk less of good evening, it's all medicine. But this time, well, I didn't go for medicine. I wanted to see how they're doing, and a lot of them are doing pretty good. But over the time, I've been studying all the places that I've been going for over 8 years now. I find out that any year we don't go, the rate of mortality increases in those areas. That is, the number of people that will die increase. And the reason I find out is that most of them, we give them medicine that probably could last at most 1 year. And after that 1 year, they run out of the medicine. So for the 1 year that we do not attend, nobody sees them. They don't go anywhere. They don't have money to buy the medicine. And so those with congestive heart failure are not going to survive. And so that's what I've seen over time. So I'm praying that this year we won't have that high mortality that we didn't go. Next place, one of the things I also noticed is that the political situation in Nigeria. We really thank God the presidential election was completed last 2 weeks. It happened that Muhammad Buhari became the president-elect. He's a Muslim. The previous one, Goodluck, was a Christian. So we don't know what it's going to be like when he takes over. Yesterday, they had a gubernatorial election that is to elect governors. The result of that, we don't know yet. And why are we interested in the politics of the place? It's important we do, because if we're doing mission, we need to know what is peaceful. We want to see that place is peaceful. We want to make sure that the government is welcoming us, especially this at the state level. We want to make sure that we're connected with the state government. That will make our mission run smooth, because they provide us with the security. So that's why we're so much connected with the politics that is going on as well.
If I missed anything again.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I also met with CY, who was here some time ago, talking about the microfinance project, which he came here to attend the workshop. That project is growing remarkably. It has spread to about 4 states in Nigeria. And so it's growing like wildfire. I'm so glad with that program in the sense that it's teaching people how to work, teach them how to do things for themselves, and not to wait for us to give them handout. And so it's a very good program. I think it's very rewarding, and it's going to pay more as it spreads to different places. And also talking about CY, we're looking forward to planting a new mission field, a new church. And CY is our point of contact there. He's making all the effort, but most of his handicap is the finance to start off, get a place where the people can meet, and be able to run around too, to put things together. But he's making a great progress in that area. So we're hoping that someday we're going to have a Sycamore Church in Nigeria. That's our goal. And we're not kidding.
Kidding. Did you get that? Thank you. Thank you, Kennedy. God bless you. And I do remind you, every time that we have been, every time we've shared the gospel, any place that we went in Nigeria, we are yet to share the gospel one time that someone did not come to Jesus. It's amazing. It's amazing to see the Lord work. And I thank Him. I thank Him. God bless you, Kennedy. And we do stay in regular contact with our brothers and sisters there in Nigeria. Today, if you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the 12th chapter of Exodus and also the 10th chapter of Exodus. Today I'm going to introduce a very short message series. We'll see how far we get today and then next week. But the title of it is, You Gotta Leave Egypt. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 3, it says, And Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, Thus says the Lord, that is Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, How long will you refuse to humble yourselves before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. And finally, we read in the 12th chapter, as it recounts the evening of the Passover, down in verse 29, chapter 12, it says, And now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And so Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night, and he said, Rise up, get out from among my people, both you and the sons of Israel, and go, worship the Lord. And it uses his name there, the name Yahweh. As you have said, take both your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and go and bless me also. The Egyptians urged the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, or we will all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, with their kneading bowls bound up in their clothing on their shoulders. And now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they had requested from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have their request, and thus they plundered the Egyptians. Now the sons of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, aside from the children. We're talking about a group of several million people that were leaving. This is not what some of the movies show you, that there may be a few hundred or a few thousand people. We're talking about probably several million people, because they grew like wildfire in the Nile Delta there. They multiplied. God multiplied this people that had been down, that had gone down there 430 years to the day earlier, as it had been prophesied. We'll talk about that later. Verse 38, a mixed multitude also went up with them, along with, and that means others outside of Jews who left, along with flocks and herds, a very large number of livestock. And they baked the dough which had been brought out of Egypt into cakes of unleavened bread, for it had not been leavened, since they were driven out of Egypt and could not delay, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. Now the time was that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. And at the end of 430 years, to the very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. And not today, but we'll say a little bit more about the hosts going out, because it refers to more than people there in that verse. They had to leave Egypt. It was time. At the end of this message today, in just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you the question, what is your Egypt? And what does God call you to leave behind? The children of Israel had to leave Egypt because God told them to leave. It was time, just like for when we read the story of Esther, for such a time as this, we can make that same application. For such a time as this, it was time for them to get out of Egypt. The Lord had set the table. The Lord had prepared the way. Look at all the history. Go back to when they came into Egypt, and then at the beginning of Exodus, What do we read? And there came a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. They had this great favor with Joseph because God used Joseph to save Egypt and save that part of the world with all the grain that they stored up for the time of drought. God used all of His gifts and graces. But the Scripture says there came a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. And then came the persecution. Then came the oppression. Then came the slavery, which has been the lot of Jews ever since. And you think of that. You think of that history. And it goes back to being a spiritual problem. But it was time for them to leave. God had set the table. The Lord had prepared them, and the Lord had prepared the Egyptians. You think about this. He brings back a Hebrew who had grown up in the court of Pharaoh. Now you talk about mixing your metaphors here. You talk about mixing things up. I mean, how can that be? But he brings this guy back, and he's not, Moses is not the same guy that grew up in the court of the Pharaoh, is he? What has happened to him? He's had to experience with Yahweh Himself. He has come there, you know, the burning bush experience, you know, take off your shoes, Moses. He's had that experience. So God has been preparing him. He's been preparing the people. He has been preparing them with a distaste for Egypt, because they start to see the oppression and see that. But he also has to prepare the Egyptians, doesn't he? For them to leave. And finally, for the Pharaoh to say, get out of here. Get out of here. There was nothing left for the Jews that was any good for them in Egypt. It was time to shake the dust from their feet. You see, staying in Egypt would have meant more suffering, wouldn't it? Because already now they were reduced in this. It's like before they had a work contract, and then they became slaves to the Egyptians. There would be more suffering. It also meant slavery for them to be in bondage. It also meant that they would continue with the worship of these other gods. Now, lest you think, when Moses arrives, He doesn't find a people that are super spiritual. I'm talking about the Jews. Now, if you read that in, that's not it. We don't see these people that are hot for God when he gets there. We see a people that have a history of the Lord, but they've been down there 430 years. But here comes this firebrand, this Moses character. Egypt had the worship of the Pharaoh, the worship of all this false worship. If they stayed there, they would become steeped in that. Staying there meant a kind of pseudo-comfort. What was one of the first things that they found out when they got out in the wilderness and they had already left, they'd already seen all the miracles, seen God do these wonderful things, and the first time they have a little opposition, what do some of the people start saying? Grumbling. Hey, We didn't have it this bad. And the grumbling starts. We'll talk about that some more. So staying would have been staying in this comfort, this pseudo-comfort. We'll come back to that in just a second. Staying would also mean that they would have to reject all the miracles that they watched the Lord do by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Think about it. It would have been an utter rejection of him, an utter rejection of what he had done, of what had been spoken, and what they had seen happen. You think about those plagues that came on Egypt. They were a miraculous thing. Now, they're in a negative way, of course, but they were a miraculous thing that happened. It would have also meant for them that they would have to reject the leadership that God had brought to them. They'd have to reject this guy and say, you know, if they're going to stay there, they're going to reject the fact of their heritage as a Jew, reject the fact that they belong to the Lord, reject the fact that God had done a wonderful miracle in Moses' life. Over and over and over again, they would have to reject. And finally, it meant turning their backs on the Lord completely and saying, Lord, we're not going to take you up on your invitation. Now listen to me. What's your Egypt? I want to ask you, is God calling you to stay right where you are? I'm not talking about physically. You know, Americans have this thing, we move here and we move there and all, and we think we change everything, but all we do is move the problems from one city to another. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your spiritual journey, your growth in the Lord. Is He calling you to just stay, to stymie, to sustain just right here? Or is He calling you to something bigger, greater, wider, deeper than what you've been experiencing? Is that answer obvious as I ask these rhetorical questions? Huh? You got it? Of course. He's laying it out before you. But what happens with a lot of us? All of us have to deal with this. The siren song of Egypt. But we had this. Let's go back to the good old days. Let's go back to this. Let me give you an example here. I know I'm going to go over the top with this example, so I already ask your forgiveness for that. But it's like the young lady that grew up with abuse and being abused in her own family. And she decides to take the big step. I'm going to step out of that And she goes and marries an abuser. Why does she do that? Because that's what's comfortable. That's the thing that she knows to do. The American church is arrogant. Listen to me. Is arrogant because we think we know what the next step ought to be. We think if you just do this, God may be calling you to a place spiritually you've never been before. That day when those Jews left Egypt that day, and they literally leave. They have the plunder, but man, they haven't stored up provisions for the trip and all that stuff. You know, they got a little bit of unleavened bread they're going to chew on. You know, as they're leaving, who's going to provide for them? Who? The Lord Himself. Yeah, He will provide. Had any of those people been to any of those places that they go to as they travel, as you see the as they cross the Red Sea and then finally end up in the Promised Land? You know, of course, we have a 40 years of wandering and all disobedience and all that story. But they leave, and they're stepping out in faith. They're stepping out in places they haven't been before. Some of you have been reluctant to leave your past, to leave the sorrow, to leave the hurt, to leave the abuse, to leave the manipulation, to leave the stuff that is in the past, all the garbage of the past. Now, hey, I'm not saying leave everything in the past. Everything that is of the Lord, let it remain as a foundation for the future. But don't build your future on an Egypt that is nothing but manipulation and slavery and indoctrination and legalism, and the list goes on. Whatever your religious history has been, whatever, and maybe for you, you were religious growing up. Maybe there was no religion that was there. But you look back and you say, I want better today. I want better for my life. I want better for my children and my grandchildren than what I've experienced. Then you've got to take the step. When the Lord invites you to leave Egypt, you need to say, yes, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave it behind. I'm not going to look back at that stuff. I'm not going to look back at the comfort. Let me tell you, listen to me. I'm a shade tree historian. It's my hobby. Like to read about it. Like to see perspectives. There's not a week that goes by that I don't read a bunch of people that I disagree with. Because I want to hear what they've got to say. I want to be challenged by that. Where are we headed? Let's go back 10 years. Let's go back 20 years. We can find some things that are better in our society. I'll give you that. There's some things that are better. But where are we headed? Where's the world headed right now? Let's not rain on anybody's parade or anything. Or say, maybe you've got it all in some Pollyanna version of history that you've got that you think, you know, our little us four and no more, we're going to be protected from all the things that are going on in the world right now. But let me tell you, those days are over. You're a teenager here. You're a young adult here. Let me tell you, the Starbucks culture is coming to a close. And what's going to be asked of you is, what are you going to do about it? Not what somebody else, not some belly aching about, oh, they did this to me or that. No, the question is, what are you going to be doing about it? Are you going to be part of the problem or part of the solution? See, the wonderful thing about God is He's always providing solutions. And the solution is always wrapped up what? In what? In Himself, in a personal relationship. And He always leads with His love. Always. Because He's got the best and the brightest and the top shelf in store for us. So when I say to you today, when I call on you to leave Egypt, I'm saying, what has God got in store for you? For your family? If you're sitting here as an adult, let me tell you, you're sitting here with influence in your life. You're farther down the road than some other people are. And people are looking to you for leadership. And you can whine and cry and say, well, I'm not a leader, but yes, you are. People are watching you. What are you going to do? Are you going to follow the Lord? You say, well, I'm at this age. Let me tell you. Moses was an old goat when he stood at the burning bush. And track it, what happened in his life after the burning bush. You want excitement? You want thrilling drama? You want stuff that'll put a Saturday afternoon melodrama to shame? Just read the Bible. You want to read about whatever you want to read? Man, open up the Bible. See what the Bible says. It's rich. It tells the truth about people. I'm calling on you today to begin that, and you're going to hear this for a couple of weeks about leaving Egypt. I want to get you just a little grasp of it today, though, to get it in your mind so you can be thinking about it and praying on it. What is God calling me to leave behind? And say, I can't go back. I'm going to go forward with the Lord. I'm going to let Him lead me. Some of you sitting here are still believing the junk that some family member or some influential person in your life told you, and they spoke down to you, or they sowed a lie into your life that you're still believing, that you're nobody or you're nothing. Or they said over and over again, every time you got up to try to do, they said, you can't, you can't, you can't. I'm telling you today, God says you can. Amen. By His power. But you've got to be willing to join Him. You've got to get on His program, not yours. Man, if you can't just read and see, just, you know, just look at the news. Well, maybe that's not a good idea. Because even in that, you got the spin doctors. Everybody's spinning their particular version of it. But read these stories and ask God to speak to you about the truth. He's calling on you to take a step of faith and begin that journey. And it is a journey. And it's not today some, Brother Dusty, I come down there and pray with you today, or We come to the altar, I sit where I am, and all of a sudden, bam, everything in the world changes overnight. You know what? God's most interested in changing me. Almost pointed those fingers somewhere else. Me. Jesus is coming back real soon. Maybe morning, maybe noon, but it's going to be real soon. I'm looking forward to His coming back. We have an appointment with Him. But in the meantime, He's calling on us to follow His will with our lives. And that means leaving Egypt behind. No more slavery. Are you enslaved by something? Someone? Are you enslaved by an idea? Are you enslaved by a concept? A lie? Ask God to expose it today and replace it with His truth. Playing baseball, I love that game. I look back on it, my daddy was my coach a lot of the time when I played baseball. From the time I was a little boy, I remember him teaching me. He taught me how to throw. He taught me how to hit a ball. He taught me how to field a ball. He taught me the whole game, showed it to me. I even had my grandmother out there who was left-handed. I was hitting left-hand pitching when I was just a little fella. But from the time I was a little fella, he had it ingrained in my mind and heart. Son, there's not a pitcher that you're going to face that you can't hit. You know what? I believe that. Now, was that true? Because I faced a couple along the way where I was just now getting the bat off my shoulder and the catcher was already throwing it back. But he had it in my mind. What was the point of that? To walk out there and go forward. God wants to do that in your life by the power of His Holy Spirit. He's got more for us than what we're experiencing today. Why not experience it? Depth, a growth in relationship with Him. I'm not talking about it looking like some sideshow that's designed for TV. I'm talking about a real relationship that at the end of the day, lives are changed. My life is changed and everybody around me is changed. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some reality TV version of things. I'm talking about real life down where we live, work, and play and have our being. God wants to do that in you. All right. That's my introduction. We'll get back to it next week. I'm going to pray for us and I'm going to send us out the door. And as I do that, I want to let you know we'd sure like to get your cards. If you have an offering to bring today, we'd sure like to get that from you. John's not here today, so we've made it through, and it's on the tape today. We made it through without John today. It was a struggle, but we got through. John's working the walk to Emmaus this weekend. All right? Make sense today? I want to pray for you. And has God spoken to you today? Huh? Has he? All right. And we didn't do a shakedown or anything today. So none of that stuff. So let's pray for you, okay? Now, Lord, you're a Lord of heaven and earth. You're Lord over everything. You were Lord over the Exodus. You parted those seas. I'm asking you today that we could begin to believe like that. That nothing is impossible with you, Lord. I'm asking you today that you will reveal our Egypt to us. And Lord, set us free today by the power of your Holy Spirit who is here. Now, Lord, release us into the harvest today and let us tell this good news story to the people around us. In Jesus' name.